Imagine, it is the year 2036. An artificial intelligence system has just completed a global corporate audit for a massive multinational conglomerate.
Right.
It reconciled millions of transactions across 30 different tax jurisdictions, cross-referenced every vendor against global sanctions lists, and identified these microscopic financial anomalies. And it did all of this in, I mean, exactly 4.2 seconds.
Yep, completely flawless.
Mathematically flawless. Yeah. But when the CEO has to sign off on a $1 billion merger based on the findings of that audit, they don't look at the computer screen.
No, they don't.
They look across the boardroom table at a human being. Why? Because no matter how advanced the processing power gets, you cannot put an algorithm in jail.
Spot on. You really can't.
You cannot ask a piece of software to stake its professional reputation on a financial projection. We are staring down the barrel of the 2036 workforce, which is just a decade out, and there is this creeping anxiety across the corporate world that we are all about to be replaced by a very efficient spreadsheet.
Yeah, that anxiety is definitely out there.
But as a business journalist covering these markets every single day, I am seeing a central paradox emerge that completely flips the script. We are entering an era where AI effortlessly processes the numbers, but it is entirely up to people to create the confidence in those numbers.
That distinction right there between processing data and generating confidence is basically the entire battleground for the future of work.
Right.
We often conflate the two, you know, because historically the person who did the math was also the person you trusted. But those functions are completely decoupling now.
But they're splitting apart.
Exactly. You can have a machine generate the most complex, flawlessly calculated financial model the world has ever seen. Well, a model doesn't sign a contract. A model doesn't look a shareholder in the eye during an annual general meeting and explain a margin compression. It just doesn't take on the legal or the moral weight of a business decision.
Which brings us to the core mission of our deep dive today. We are taking the source material we've gathered, specifically drawing on this indicative forecasting framework designed to map the next 10 years of professional services. And we are going to explore the future of the finance, accounting, and insurance professions.
It's a massive shift.
Huge. We have data mapping how automation is reshaping 45 different roles across these sectors. And the goal here isn't to, you know, indulge in some dystopian science fiction about robots taking over the office.
Right, we're keeping it grounded.
Very grounded. Our mission is to practically strip away the robotic tasks, the pure data processing, the rote reconciliation, to reveal the deeply human skills that are left behind. And joining me to navigate this is our resident expert, someone who has spent years mapping organizational structures and understanding the harsh ground-level reality of what employers actually need when they are building a team.
Well, thanks. I am really looking forward to digging into this. The anxiety you mentioned in the opening, it is palpable out there in the market right now.
Oh, I bet.
Candidates are terrified about obsolescence, and hiring managers are worried about bloated payrolls for tasks that, frankly, software can do for free.
Right.
But to understand where these jobs are actually going, we first have to understand the foundational currency of the financial sector. And I have to remind professionals of this constantly.
What's the currency?
It isn't money. It is trust.
Trust.
Yeah. If trust evaporates, the entire system, from global equities markets all the way down to a local business loan, it just grinds to an absolute halt, regardless of how sophisticated the technology is.
Okay, I want to challenge that slightly.
Go for it.
Because if an AI can prove with cryptographic certainty that a ledger is perfectly balanced, doesn't that mathematical certainty replace the need for human trust? Like, if the math is transparent, why do I even need a person?
I get that argument. I really do. But business is not just applied mathematics.
Okay.
And business involves risk, it involves ambiguity, and it involves human stakeholders. Let me give you an example from the source material.
Yeah, let's hear it.
Let's look at the first category outlined in our source materials framework. They categorize the future of these 45 roles into different, well, they call them planets. And the first one is the stable planet.
Stable planet.
Okay. Right. These are roles that the forecast deems highly durable, but they aren't durable because the person doing the job is a human calculator. They are durable because they are anchored by three very specific characteristics.
Which are?
Judgment, trust, and accountability.
So who actually lives on this stable planet? What specific roles are we talking about here? for the listeners?
We are looking at roles like the chief risk officer, the financial controller, the audit manager, or say a forensic accountant.
Okay, forensic accountant is a great one.
Yeah, because in these roles, even as automation increases, and the forecast definitely shows their routine tasks will be heavily automated, the human value remains exceptionally high.
Why is that?
Well, the ultimate output of a forensic accountant isn't just a spreadsheet mapping out a fraud case. The ultimate output is their expert testimony in a court of law. It is a professional guarantee.
Oh, wow. Okay, let's zoom in on that forensic accountant role for a second, because I think that illustrates the accountability piece perfectly.
Yeah.
Because an algorithm could probably scan a decade's worth of corporate emails and financial transactions to flag fraudulent activity in, what, a few minutes?
Seconds, probably.
Right, seconds. It could highlight the exact moment a shell company was incorporated and when funds were diverted.
It absolutely will be able to do that. The data gathering and the pattern recognition part will be almost instantaneous.
Right. But when that company gets hauled before a regulatory body or, you know, a Senate Estimates Committee here in Australia, the board of directors cannot point to a server rack and say, hey, the machine caught it. Talk to the machine.
They'd be laughed out of the room.
Exactly. The regulators demand a neck to ring, so to speak.
Yeah.
They require a human being to act as the necessary anchor.
Yeah, they need someone to step up to the microphone and basically say, I have reviewed this evidence. I understand the legal parameters of how the machine arrived at these conclusions. I apply my professional judgment to say this constitutes fraud, and I am accountable for this accusation.
That is exactly the dynamic, because an AI cannot take professional or moral accountability for the outcome of an audit.
Exactly. It can't hold a certified practicing license that can be revoked if it acts unethically. Accountability requires skin in the game. And that is why trust is a uniquely human currency.
You know, I want to offer an analogy here to see if it tracks with how you view the recruitment landscape for these roles.
Sure, lay it on me.
Think about a modern commercial airliner. You and I get on a plane to fly from Sydney to Los Angeles.
Okay.
Intellectually, we both know that the plane is basically a flying supercomputer. The autopilot is flying that plane for probably 99% of that 14-hour journey.
Oh, at least.
Right. The machine is making the micro adjustments. It is monitoring the wind speed across the wings. It's optimizing the fuel consumption far better than a human hand ever could.
But you still want the human in the cockpit.
I absolutely demand the human in the cockpit.
Yeah.
The passengers demand a highly trained, highly compensated human being sitting in that front seat. Why? We demand someone there to take accountability if something goes wrong.
Precisely.
We need the psychological safety of knowing that if the sensors suddenly ice over the Pacific, or if an engine has a catastrophic failure that the AI didn't predict, there is a human pilot who will physically take the yoke, look at the horizon, and say, I have the aircraft.
Spot on.
So is this essentially what is happening to those stable planet roles like the financial controller or the risk manager?
That is a very precise way to look at it, actually.
Yeah.
Yes. The human pilot isn't there to hold the steering wheel perfectly straight for 14 hours.
Right. That'd be a waste.
It would be a complete waste of their cognitive ability. And frankly, the machine holds the wheel straighter anyway. The pilot is there for exception handling. They are there for catastrophic risk mitigation and, exactly as you pointed out, for passenger psychology.
Passenger psychology, yeah.
In the corporate environment, the stakeholders, the board, the investors, the regulators, they are the passengers.
Hmm.
The people in these stable planet roles are the pilots.
That makes a lot of sense.
The automation gravity, as the forecast calls it, might pull away all the manual data entry, but the human signal, the demand for their seasoned judgment, remains incredibly high. When the economic weather gets rough, the board wants to look at a human who can navigate the storm, not a dashboard that is just flashing a red warning light.
That sets a really clear baseline. But the baseline for survival in the 2036 economy is trust and accountability.
Yeah.
If your role inherently requires someone to take the blame or provide a professional guarantee, you have a seat in the cockpit.
Yep.
But I want to push past survival, because keeping your job is one thing. But for you listening right now, if you want to accelerate your career, if you want to expand your influence and not just hold the fort, you need to be doing something much more active than just sitting around waiting for the sensors to ice over.
Absolutely.
So if the machine is doing all the heavy lifting, what are the specific active skills that professionals need to actually thrive?
Well, this brings us into the most dynamic category of the forecast, which they term the supernova role.
The supernova.
Yeah. If the stable planet is about durability and anchoring the business, the supernova is about explosive growth and expansion.
It implies a massive release of energy. What is the fundamental difference between a stable role and a supernova role?
A supernova role is a position that isn't just surviving the wave of automation. It is actively expanding its influence across the business because of it.
Because of the automation.
Exactly. In these roles, AI acts as a massive catalyst. Think about the historical constraint on finance professionals. For decades, their primary constraint was just time.
Yeah, there were only so many hours in a month.
Right. They spent 80% of their month just gathering the data, cleaning it, and formatting it, leaving maybe 20% of their time for actual analysis.
If they're lucky.
Exactly. Because the AI takes away the grueling, time-consuming routine tasks, it completely flips that ratio. It creates a massive, unprecedented new demand for human insight, for macro systems thinking, and for cross-departmental influence.
Okay, let's get incredibly specific here. I want to ground this in a real-world example from the source material.
Sure.
Let's look at the present-day commercial analyst. Based on what I see in the market today, a commercial analyst is often the person buried up to their neck in Excel spreadsheets.
Oh, absolutely.
They are pulling revenue data from a CRM, expense data from an ERP, trying to get 10 different incompatible systems to talk to each other, and then producing a variance report on Friday afternoon that tells the sales director what happened on Tuesday.
It's highly manual, retrospective work.
Exactly. But the forecast indicates that by 2036, this role transforms into a title, like a decision intelligence partner or a financial decision intelligence partner.
It is a complete evolution of the profession's identity. And the metrics provided in the forecast for this specific transition are fascinating.
Lay the numbers on me.
Okay. The tool indicates that this commercial analyst role faces a 34% automation gravity.
Meaning that over a third of their current day-to-day workflow is going to be permanently pulled away by algorithms.
Correct. The routine data extraction, the basic formatting, the standard variance reporting that evaporates from their job description, handled by AI instantly.
Okay.
But here's the critical part. While it faces a 34% automation gravity, the forecast shows the role retains a massive 91% human signal.
Wait, walk me through the math on that.
Yeah.
Because on the surface, that sounds contradictory.
It does, yeah.
How can a role lose a third of its tasks to automation, but still have a 91% human signal? That implies the remaining tasks become hyper-valuable.
That is exactly what it implies. The human signal represents the traits and actions that machines cannot replicate. It represents the premium placed on the human elements of the job.
Right.
You are losing the low-value administrative tasks, which magnifies the importance of the high-value strategic tasks. The forecast outlines specific human skills that candidates in these supernova roles must build right now to justify that 91% signal.
What's the first one?
The first one is termed explaining information, or what is commonly called executive storytelling.
Let me stop you there. Executive storytelling.
Yeah.
As a journalist, I hear storytelling thrown around in corporate jargon constantly. Everyone from the marketing intern to the CEO says they need to be a storyteller.
It's a buzzword, I know.
But in the context of a highly technical, numbers-driven finance department in 2036, what does that practically look like?
It is far more rigorous than just putting together a nice PowerPoint deck. In this context, executive storytelling is the ability to translate highly complex, multidimensional AI-generated models into practical, actionable options for a business leader.
Give me a scenario. How does that play out?
Let's imagine an AI system runs a massive supply chain analysis. It spits out a Monte Carlo simulation with 10,000 possible financial outcomes for the next quarter, factoring in fluctuating shipping rates, currency volatility, raw material shortages.
Okay, a huge amount of data.
Massive. A business leader, even a highly competent one, cannot sit down and read 10,000 probabilistic outcomes. They cannot intuitively digest a raw, multidimensional model.
Oh, has the time for that.
Exactly. So the decision intelligence partner has to look at that massive output, synthesize the core narrative, and walk into the boardroom to say, the machine has run the permutations. The core story here is that our over-reliance on a single supplier in Southeast Asia is creating a 40% probability of a major margin collapse by Q3.
Wow, okay.
And based on this data, here are the three practical paths we can take to mitigate that risk right now.
So they're acting as the crucial translation layer. The AI built the spreadsheet, but the human has to stand in front of it and provide the narrative context.
Exactly. And the story has to be commercial, not technical. The board doesn't care about the Python code the AI used to run the simulation.
Oh, right. They just want the bottom line.
They care about the fact that if they don't change their supplier, they are going to miss their earnings target.
Okay, I understand the translation piece. That makes sense. But the source material highlights another specific skill for these supernova roles that I find much more provocative. It calls it AI model challenge.
Yes, the ability to challenge assumptions. The forecast makes it very clear that humans must rigorously test the commercial assumptions the AI is making.
But I'm going to play devil's advocate here for a minute.
Go ahead.
If I am a junior analyst or even a mid-level commercial manager in 2036, hearing that my job is to, quote unquote, challenge the AI model sounds really intimidating.
It does.
If not impossible. How do I challenge a machine that has read every financial regulation in human history, process petabytes of market data, and can calculate millions of variables a second?
Yeah.
If the machine says X, shouldn't I just trust X?
That is the exact trap that leads to massive corporate failures.
Really?
Oh, absolutely. To understand why you must challenge the machine, you have to understand the fundamental limitation of how AI actually works.
Okay, break that down for me.
AI models are essentially prediction engines. They are trained on historical data, and they make highly educated probabilistic guesses based on past patterns, but they do not understand context in the way a human being does.
What kind of context are we talking about?
Commercial nuance, geopolitical subtleties, human psychology.
Right.
An AI might look at your company's historical data and say, hey, every time we increase our digital marketing spend by 10% in Q2, customer acquisition goes up by 15%. Therefore, model projects a 15% growth.
Seems logical on paper.
Right. But a good decision intelligence partner looks at that output and says, wait a minute, the machine is assuming a linear relationship based on the last 5 years. But I just had lunch with our head of product, and I know our flagship software release is delayed by 6 months.
Oh, the AI would know that.
Exactly. Furthermore, a major competitor just launched an aggressive price war, and consumer sentiment in our key demographic is dropping due to inflation.
Right.
So the machine's underlying assumption that the market conditions are identical to last year is commercially flawed.
So the human acts as the skeptic. They are cross-examining the algorithm.
They are the interrogator. The machine cannot read the room, and it cannot foresee unprecedented events. The human brings the external, unstructured reality into the structured model.
That makes perfect sense. So we have executive storytelling to translate the data, and we have the interrogative mindset to challenge the AI's assumptions. What is the final piece of this supernova skill set? Where does this all lead?
It culminates in what the forecast calls scenario design and commercial influence. This is the absolute pinnacle of the new role.
Scenario design.
Yeah. Once you have translated the complex data, and once you have stripped out the flawed assumptions by challenging the model, you have to actually architect a path forward. You turn that filtered, imperfect data into confident, strategic decisions.
Architecting the path forward. How does that practically differ from what a commercial analyst does today?
Today, a lot of analysis is just passive observation. Here is what happened last month.
Very rearview mirror.
Exactly. Scenario design is active projection. Let's look at another role that fits this evolving and supernova dynamic. Let's talk about the insurance underwriter.
Okay, insurance.
Historically, an underwriter might look at a rigid set of actuarial tables to decide if a commercial building gets insured and at what premium.
Right.
By 2036, the AI handles all the baseline calculations instantly. The human underwriter becomes a risk architect.
A risk architect, I like that.
They use their commercial influence to build a consensus. They go to the broker and the client and say, look, the AI model flags a high climate risk for this property. I have challenged some of the assumptions based on the new seawall the city is building, but the risk remains. If scenario A happens, say, you install these specific physical safeguards, we execute policy plan X. If scenario B happens, we execute policy plan Y.
So they're building options.
They are actively structuring the commercial reality, using human influence to get stakeholders to agree to a complex trade-off.
Okay, if we have these decision intelligence partners and these risk architects out there telling stories, challenging AI, and designing scenarios, who are they actually doing this for?
That's the million-dollar question.
Right, because these skills aren't used in a vacuum. A supernova professional isn't just sitting in a cubicle talking to themselves. This brings us directly to the boardroom. The entire point of these advanced human skills is to interface with the absolute highest levels of corporate leadership.
Exactly. And the dynamic of how boards of directors and chief financial officers operate is shifting violently alongside this. The primary function of the human skills we just discussed is to guide those leaders through incredibly complex trade-offs.
Let me put my business journalist hat back on for a second.
Go for it.
When I interview board members or C-suite executives, regardless of the industry, the one commodity they universally lack is cognitive bandwidth.
Oh, absolutely.
Their days are completely fractured. They go from an 8.00 a.m. meeting on cybersecurity protocols to a 9.00 a.m. crisis meeting on supply chain bottlenecks to a 10:30 a.m. meeting on ESG compliance to a lunch meeting regarding a hostile takeover defense.
He's relentless.
They are constantly context switching. They just do not have the time to sit down and sift through raw AI models, no matter how accurate those models are.
And that cognitive load is only going to increase by 2036. The AI is going to generate more noise than the corporate world has ever seen.
More noise.
Yeah, more data points, more real-time alerts, more predictive models flashing constantly. The executive desperately needs a human layer below them to filter out that noise and present the actionable commercial reality.
Okay, I hear that, but let me push back on this assumption.
Okay.
If the AI is getting as good as we all know it is, if it is capable of cleaning the data, running the forecasts, and presenting the results in beautiful, intuitive, real-time visual dashboards on an iPad, why wouldn't the board just cut out the middleman?
It's a fair question.
Right. Why pay a human decision intelligence partner a massive salary just to verbally tell the CFO what the dashboard already says? Why wouldn't CEO just look at the dials themselves and make the call?
It is the most common objection we see in workforce planning right now.
Yeah.
Organizations want to lean out their operations and they look at software as a direct replacement for headcount.
Sure.
But the source text provides the counterargument to this, and it hinges on a phrase we really need to explore deeply, which is imperfect data.
Imperfect data. In a world of supercomputers, why is the data still imperfect?
Because the real world is messy. A dashboard is simply a clean visualization of data, but the foundation of that data is almost always flawed in some way.
How so?
It has latency. Maybe the consumer spending figures are 2 weeks old. It has bias. Maybe the data was collected primarily from urban demographics and completely ignores rural trends. Or perhaps it is based on a regulatory framework that is currently being debated in Parliament right now and might change tomorrow. An AI might present a perfectly rendered, color-coded graph on an iPad, but that graph cannot make a nuanced, ethical, or reputational trade-off.
Walk me through how an executive experiences that imperfection in real time. Like, what does that look like?
All right. Imagine a scenario where a CEO is looking at a dashboard deciding whether to shut down a manufacturing plant.
Okay.
The AI model shows that shutting it down will save $50 million over 2 years. The math is perfect. The dashboard is glowing green, urging them to execute.
It sounds like an easy decision for the AI.
Right. But the dashboard cannot weigh the financial benefit against the catastrophic reputational damage to the company brand and that local community.
Oh, true.
It cannot factor in the potential union backlash that might spread to their other more profitable plants. The machine gives you the math, but the board needs the human context to actually make the trade-off.
So the human bridges the gap between the imperfect data on the screen and the confident decision in the boardroom.
Exactly.
When a CEO is about to make a massive company-altering decision, they don't want to look at an iPad for reassurance.
Yeah.
They want to look at their CFO, and their CFO wants to look at their decision intelligence partner.
That chain of trust.
They need that chain of human trust to validate that all the unquantifiable variables have been considered.
Precisely. The machine cannot bear the weight of executive anxiety. Only a trusted human partner can absorb that anxiety, interpret the messy reality, and say, based on everything the machine says and everything the machine cannot see, this is the right call.
That fundamentally reframes what a finance department is.
It really does.
And if this human translation layer is so desperately needed by the C-suite, it stands to reason that the way companies actually find these people has to be completely overhauled. You cannot use a 2015 interview process to find a 2036 decision intelligence partner.
You absolutely cannot. The entire mechanism of screening candidates is broken if you apply old metrics to these new roles. And this leads us to the third category mapped out in the forecast, which is called the evolving planet.
Evolving planet. So we have mapped the stable planet, which relies on durable trust and accountability. We have mapped the supernovas, which expand through storytelling and scenario design. What defines a role on the evolving planet?
The evolving planet encompasses roles that are fundamentally changing shape.
Changing shape? How?
Well, the core objective of the role remains the same. For example, making sure the company's bills get paid. But the day-to-day reality of how that is achieved is shifting radically as routine tasks are automated.
Right.
In these evolving roles, the employer is no longer paying for standard process execution. They are paying for three specific capabilities.
Which are?
Handling exceptions, implementing controls, and building relationships.
Exceptions, controls, and relationships. Okay, let's break that down from the perspective of an employer trying to build a resilient team. Let's look at a classic high-volume role, like an accounts payable supervisor. Historically, if I am a hiring manager interviewing an accounts payable candidate, I want to know about their technical execution.
Right. You test their skill.
I want to know their typing speed, their accuracy rate, whether they know their debits and credits, and if they can manually reconcile a complex, messy bank statement.
And if you interview for those things in the AI era, you will hire the exact wrong person.
Really?
Yes. Because pure technical execution is now assumed. Yeah. It is a given. You have to operate under the assumption that the enterprise AI software your company uses will handle the standard invoice matching and reconciliations flawlessly.
Right. The machine does the basics.
Exactly. Yeah. You do not need to test a candidate's ability to do mental arithmetic or format an Excel table. The interview must aggressively focus on how the candidate handles the edge cases.
The edge cases. The exceptions to the rule.
Yes. Let's look at that. Accounts payable automated system. 99% of the invoices come into the business digitally. The AI instantly reads them, matches them to the approved purchase order, verifies the vendor's bank details against the master file, and schedules the payment. No human eyes ever touch it. It is entirely frictionless.
Beautiful.
But what happens with the 1%? What happens when the AI flags an anomaly and stops the process?
Give me an example of an anomaly that trips up the machine.
Okay. Say a long-standing vendor sends an invoice that looks perfectly legitimate on the surface. But the AI detects a microscopic discrepancy.
Like what?
Perhaps the tax code applied is slightly different from historical patterns, or the billing frequency suddenly shifted from monthly to fortnightly, or the metadata on the PDF suggests it was generated in a different country than usual.
The machine basically raises its hand and says, I don't know what to do with this. It doesn't fit the pattern.
Exactly. That is the exception. And as an employer, what you desperately need to know during the interview is, how does this candidate react to that alert? Do they just look at it, assume the machine is being overly sensitive, and blindly click override to pay it? Do they ignore the alert because it's in the too hard basket?
Probably what a lot of people do now.
Right. Or do they possess the investigative curiosity to freeze the payment, pick up the phone, call the vendor's finance department, and dig into the discrepancy?
So you are no longer interviewing for process following. You are interviewing for problem solving and investigative instinct.
Exactly. And it goes further than just solving that one exception. It moves into the second capability, which is controls.
Controls.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Once they figure out why the invoice was weird, maybe the vendor changed their corporate structure. Can the candidate then implement a new control or rule within the AI system to ensure it handles that specific nuance automatically next time? Can they govern the machine?
That's fascinating. And what about the third element, relationships? If they're just sitting at a computer investigating anomalies, where do the relationships come in?
As the transactional head-down work disappears, the value of cross-departmental relationships skyrockets.
How so?
Let's say our accounts payable supervisor realizes that the sales team keeps submitting non-compliant expense reports that are breaking the AI automation. The supervisor can't just send a passive-aggressive email to the sales director.
Never works anyway.
Never works. They have to build a relationship. They have to walk over to the sales department, understand why the process is frustrating for them, and use human influence to get the sales team to adopt the new financial control.
How does an employer actually redesign an interview to test for that?
Yeah.
Because you can't hand a candidate a multiple choice test on building relationships.
No, you have to move entirely to behavioral scenario-based interviewing, but calibrated specifically for an AI-enabled environment.
So less what are your weaknesses and more.
Exactly. Instead of asking the standard lazy question like walk me through how you do a month-end close, you put them in the scenario.
Give me an example of the prompt.
You ask, tell me about a time an automated reporting system gave you a result that felt commercially wrong. Walk me through the exact steps you took to investigate the anomaly, and then tell me how you communicated that correction to the stakeholders who were relying on that flawed data.
Wow. That is a brutally difficult interview to pass if you aren't prepared for it. It tests their gut instinct, their technical investigation skills, and their diplomatic communication skills all in one swing.
It requires a completely updated mindset, and candidates who do not possess that mindset, who expect to just show up and execute a rigid checklist of tasks, well, they are in immense danger.
Which brings us to the final, and frankly, the most alarming category in this forecast framework.
Yeah.
We've spent this deep dive talking about the winners in the 2036 economy. We talk about the durable, stable roles, the expansive supernovas, and the adaptable, evolving roles. But the forecast also maps the losers. It maps the category it calls the black hole risk.
Yes. This is the stark warning label attached to the entire forecast.
The black hole risk. What fundamentally defines a role that is sitting on the event horizon of this black hole?
The defining fatal characteristic of a black hole risk role is an overwhelming reliance on pure task execution.
Task execution.
Yeah. If your job right now consists primarily of taking data from point A, cleaning or formatting it, and moving it to point B without adding any critical judgment, narrative translation, or strategic insight, you're totally exposed. The gravity of automation will pull that role into oblivion.
Because in the 2036 landscape, there is absolutely zero commercial rationale for a human being to perform that work. A machine can move data from point A to point B instantly, with zero errors, and for a marginal cost approaching zero.
Exactly. If we look at roles that are historically reliant on high-volume, low-complexity processing basic data entry clerks, routine payroll processors who just push the file through without oversight, or standard accounts receivable staff who just send automated reminder emails, if those professionals do not evolve their skill sets, those specific roles just disappear. They are consumed by the black hole.
So what is the escape velocity? How does a professional currently sitting in a heavy task execution role avoid being pulled under?
The only way to escape the black hole is to actively shift your career trajectory into areas of quality control, complex judgment, or strategic oversight.
Moving toward the human signals.
Right. You have to move toward those signals we discussed. And to facilitate that move, candidates absolutely must become AI literate.
Okay, let's pause and explicitly clarify what AI literate means in this context. Because when people in traditional finance or insurance professions hear that phrase, panic sets in.
Oh, I see it all the time.
Right. A 45-year-old audit manager hears AI literate and thinks, I need to go back to university at night. I need to learn how to code in Python. I need to become a machine learning engineer just to keep my job. But based on the source text, that is a complete misunderstanding, isn't it?
It is a massive misconception. AI literacy does not mean knowing how to write the code that builds the neural network.
Thank goodness for that.
Yeah. It means understanding how to use the AI as an operational tool to radically speed up your own routine work. The source material clarifies this beautifully. AI speeds up modeling and reporting.
So it's about speed.
Yes. AI literacy is simply the practical knowledge of how to prompt the machine. It is knowing how to query the system effectively so that a data reconciliation task that used to take you 3 agonizing days now takes you 3 hours.
It is the exact same dynamic as previous technological leaps, really. Think about the transition from the physical ledger book to the electronic spreadsheet like Excel in the 1980s.
Exactly.
You didn't need to know how to program a microchip or write the underlying code for Microsoft Windows to be an accountant. You just needed to know how to write a VLO up formula to get the answer faster.
That is the perfect historical parallel. And the core reason you need to get the answer faster isn't just so you can go home early.
Well, that's a nice bonus.
It is. But you need the machine to do the heavy lifting so you can redirect your cognitive energy toward the things the machine cannot do. If the AI handles the 3 days of reconciliation in 3 hours, you now have the rest of the week to dedicate to the scenario design, the executive storytelling, and the commercial influence that actually generate value.
If you aren't AI literate, you will spend your entire work week fighting to manually complete tasks that the machine does instantly. You will exhaust yourself, and you will have absolutely no time or energy left to provide the human signal that employers are actually willing to pay for.
Exactly. Let me offer a mechanical analogy to visualize this. Imagine the AI is a massively powerful high-performance engine.
Okay, I'm picturing it.
A professional whose entire value is based on pure task execution is like someone standing outside the vehicle, manually turning the crank, trying to provide the momentum themselves.
That sounds exhausting.
They are exhausted and they aren't going very fast. The black hole is what happens when the market demands speed they can't provide. But the AI literate professional isn't turning the crank. They are sitting in the driver's seat.
Ah, they're driving.
They let the powerful engine of automation handle the raw speed and the forward propulsion. Their job, the human premium, is to use their vision to steer the vehicle, apply the brakes when necessary, and navigate the obstacles on the road.
I love that. You aren't the engine. You are the steering and the brakes.
Yeah.
You use the propulsion of the AI to drive yourself forward into a supernova role.
That's the goal.
So with all of these massive cosmic shifts happening across the career landscape, the stable planets demanding accountability, the supernovas expanding through storytelling, the evolving roles hunting for exceptions, and the black holes consuming pure task execution, how can you, the listener, actually figure out where your specific job is heading? Because it is fascinating to discuss the macroeconomic theory, but if you were sitting there listening to this on your commute, you want the practical reality. You are asking, what about my job title? What about my career trajectory over the next 10 years?
And bridging that gap between theory and individual reality is exactly why this forecast framework was translated into a practical tool.
Right. So as we launch into the final segment of this deep dive, I want to formally introduce the tool we have been referencing throughout this entire discussion. It is the Career Cosmos page. You can access it directly right now by going to byronthomas.com/career-cosmos.
It's fantastic.
And I want to frame this not just as a neat interactive website, but as an absolutely essential navigational instrument for anyone in these professions.
It is a remarkably comprehensive resource. What the team has done is meticulously map out 45 different accounting, finance, insurance, and C-level roles.
Let's actually role play this on the air to show the listener how it works. Let's say I am currently working as that accounts payable supervisor we discussed earlier. I go to byronthomas.com.o/career-cosmos. I select my current role from the drop-down menu.
Mm.
What exactly does the tool spit out for my 2036 trajectory?
When you plug that in, the tool effectively launches your role into the 2036 career universe. It will show you the likely future title of your position. It will categorize you into one of four planet types, in this case, likely the evolving planet.
Okay, good to know.
It will highlight your specific automation gravity percentage versus your human signal percentage. And crucially, it maps out the nearby roles, the adjacent orbits that you might naturally transition into if you build the right skills. It gives you a highly visual, personalized roadmap.
And this is a critical caveat that we must emphasize, and it's stated very clearly right there in the source text. This tool is an indicative forecast. It is synthesizing a massive amount of variables, current salary guides, automation exposure percentages across different subtasks, and human relationship value metrics. It brings all of that together to create a realistic picture of the AI era landscape. But it is designed as a strategic conversation starter, not a guaranteed ironclad prediction written in stone.
That is an essential disclaimer. No algorithm and no forecasting tool can perfectly predict a decade of macroeconomic shifts, black swan events, or individual career choices. But what it provides is the vocabulary and the structural framework to start planning your pivot today. It allows you to see the trajectory before you are forced to react to it.
Exactly. The future is written by the professionals who actively build it, not just the algorithms that predict it.
Spot on.
Now, to wrap up this deep dive, I want to leave you, the listener, with a final thought on how violently the definition of valuable work is changing. We started this entire conversation talking about the commercial airliner. We talked about how the automation, the autopilot, flies the plane with mathematical perfection. But we desperately need the human in the cockpit to take accountability, to provide trust, and to take the yoke when the external sensors ice over.
Yeah, the human pilot.
Think about how the definition of a pilot has changed. 50 years ago, the definition of a great pilot was someone with a steady hand, someone who could physically wrestle the aircraft through turbulence.
True.
Today, a great pilot is essentially a highly trained systems manager. They understand complex aerodynamics, they understand software inputs, and they specialize in crisis management and human psychology.
It's a completely different job.
The definition of a great finance, accounting, or risk professional is undergoing the exact same metamorphosis right now. Your ability to maintain a steady hand on a complex Excel spreadsheet, your ability to manually reconcile the data, is no longer where your value lies. The machine does that now.
Definitely.
Your value is your ability to manage the AI system, critically challenge the underlying commercial assumptions, communicate the story to the board, and guide the business through the economic storms. That human signal is everything.
It is everything.
So, with that stark reality staring us down, what do we actually do about it on a Monday morning? Based on the comprehensive framework we have mapped out today, we're going to leave you with four precise, immediate actions you must take to navigate this transition.
If you want to ensure you are on the right side of this shift, here are the steps you must take, depending on whether you are building a team or building your own career. First, the employer actions.
Employer action one, evaluate your current finance and accounting teams against the four planet types to identify which roles are currently sitting in black hole risk due to pure task execution.
Employer action two, restructure your interview checks to specifically test candidates for human signal traits, focusing heavily on relationship building and their ability to handle exceptions and controls.
And for the candidates listening, candidate action one, actively shift your professional development away from routine reporting and toward skills like scenario design, executive storytelling, and commercial influence.
Candidate action two, visit ByronThomas.com/career-cosmos to launch your current role into the 2036 forecast and use the results as a strategic conversation starter with your mentors or management.
Four incredibly clear actions to help you navigate the next decade of the career cosmos. Because at the end of the day, the AI might process the numbers, but it is entirely up to you to command the confidence. Thank you for joining us on this deep dive.